Wendy, you tell a great story about a blind man trying to find his keys. I mean, this is heartwarming. Tell me about this.
Yeah, well, this man had called me, and he needed to be able to find his keys, and I never actually did a session with him. But over the phone, we talked about it, and I said, there is a way for you to find your keys in your apartment whenever you need to. And so I asked him on the phone, you know, close your eyes, relax. I want you to let this special wisdom find a way for you to locate your keys. So he came up with this. And he decided during this little phone session that he would use someone else's eyes. And he actually imagined that he was borrowing someone else's eyes in his head and he could find his keys. Now, I don't know how much he actually saw, but he said, I can see when I do that. I know where they are. And he goes over and grabs them and picks them up.
Is that something?
No, he's seeing in a different way. Of course, he's not seeing with vision. But our body's kind of like, it's got this sonar that, like remote viewing, you know? Because I've had done remote viewing for people when they're trying to find something they lost in their house. And I send them all around their house to just see in a different way. And they can find objects.
A lot of us who can see can't find our keys around the house.
Yeah. Unless you sing Sesame Street out loud. Yeah. My friend is a neurosurgeon, Bob, and he had someone that was blind, and he was going to do surgery on them and try and restore their sight. And the night before the surgery, he went in there and told them a story, a hypnotic story, because he loves hypnosis. And he told them about seeing the sunrise in the morning and this whole story. This guy wakes up the next morning before the surgery, asked the nurse, take me to the window, and looked out the window and saw the sunrise. His vision came back, and he didn't have the surgery.
That's something.
I know. This Bob knows the brain because he's been a neurosurgeon forever, and he knows that hypnosis is the first thing to do, not the last.
How much does a miracle have to play with this, or some angelic intervention?
Well, that's hard to say because I know that the mind alone, just in a physical sense, we have the potential to make these things happen in our body. The things we were talking about earlier, you can make them happen just flat out with having hypnotic suggestion. So I don't know. You know the story about Betty? She had cancer, and she hadn't been able to walk for about a year because she had bone cancer in her whole body. And her husband, Ernie, brought her in for sessions every week. And it was very touching. They would both be in the room there, and we would try and bring in all of God's love and the healing and everything. And they went home one day, and he called me, and he says, Wendy, I have to tell you what happened. Excuse me, chills. He said, Betty took a nap, and I was in the bedroom with her taking a nap, and the light in the room was so bright. It was just beaming in the corner of the room. It woke us both up. And he said, in the corner of the room was Jesus. And Betty got up and she walked. And I followed her because she can't walk. She walked all the way down the hallway.
And they both saw him?
Yeah.
That is something.
Yeah, and the light was so bright it woke him up. And she got up and walked down the hallway. And she didn't continue to walk after that. So it wasn't like she had a miraculous healing. But for a little while, something happened that actually allowed her to, you know. Yeah, oh, man, it was so touching.
That is. You ready for some calls?
I am.
Let's go. First of all, west of the Rockies, you're on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hi.
Where are you calling from?
Anchorage, Alaska. Hi. My name is Stephanie. It's still daylight out here. It is. Wow. I kid you not, we get dusk until about 4 in the morning at 3:30 thereabouts, and it starts coming up again. So, and by the way, you're very beautiful, Wendy.
Oh, thank you.
I just saw your picture. I got you on the website. I've signed up for your newsletter.
Oh, wonderful.
But you were talking about past life regression. And one of the things that I want to know, in these sessions that you've done, what is the success ratio that you get on being able to prove this?
Boy, that's difficult because the information could come from so many different places. To nail down the actual facts and say, you know, that you've never read this in a book, nobody's ever told you this, and you never came across it, how do you go back and try to eliminate those pieces of information? Right. You could have seen it in a movie, you know, when you're very young. But there was a story recently on Primetime Live. There was a boy who was 3 years old. And he insisted that he had died in a plane crash, and it was in the war, and he said it was a Japanese who shot him down. And they verified all these facts. And here's the really...
I think I saw that.
Yeah, they said, who was the man who was your partner on the plane? And he
they found him.
Gave him the name, and they found him. That man is still alive.
Yeah, oh, what a great story.
Oh, my gosh, that was just amazing. And that, if that isn't proof, you know?
Well, he knew that the tires of these planes blew out
yep.
on landing, and nobody yep. was supposed to know that. That was a secret, I guess.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Okay, then, now if you meet somebody
he knew
and they
the name
say,
of the
I knew
carrier
you
too.
Yeah.
back when, how much faith do you put in that?
Boy, you know, it varies, and that is a difficult question because sometimes there are things that you just know, like if you take two separate people who knew each other in a past life and you just happen to, like Brian Weiss had this happen where these two different people had the experience of having met each other described separately, these details, and they happened to be in his waiting room at the same time on the same day, and he felt that that was what brought them together, but they had the exact same past life regression, even though they'd never met. That would be pretty compelling to me.
Hmm.
Yeah, so it is it's pretty gray area, because it's tough to prove, even with, you know, the best of facts. How do you get it by the skeptics?
Thanks for your call, Stephanie. You know Brian Weiss. He's been a guest.
Yeah,
regular
yeah.
guest.
Oh, I love his
yeah.
books, and yeah.
Wonderful guy. Let's go to our wild card line. Welcome to Coast. You are on the air with us. Hi there.
Yes, I'm right here.
Go ahead, sir.
Well, the thing is, you know, I'm watching Wendy over here on the internet and all that, and everything's fine. I got hit by a hip hypnotist quite a few years ago, which was very interesting because I didn't believe in hypnosis in the first place. But let me ask Wendy, please.
Sure.
What is the difference between hypnosis and the power of the suggestion and personal belief? Is there a difference?
Yeah, there is. Hypnosis is definitely a very different state. You can have a belief that you're going to create something, it's going to happen, and chances are that belief might be enough to make it happen, but it's mixed in with all the other issues that you have going on. And the other one is power of suggestion. So let's say every morning you get up and you stand in front of your mirror and you say, I am a confident person. I can speak in front of big groups of people with ease. And then you go and give your speech, and you're trembling, and you throw up, and you hyperventilate.
That's interesting. I'm a race announcer, so yeah, that happens every once in a while.
But yeah. Now you.
No, I've always wondered about
it.
That, though.
Yeah, constantly you tell yourself, and this is the power of suggestion. Or you listen to it. Let's say you listen to it on a tape, and this hypnosis tape gives you the power of suggestion that says you're a great speaker. You're relaxed in front of people, and then you go get up in front of a group, and you're trembling. Why didn't it happen? You have to have all these elements in the hypnosis session to make it happen. It's not enough to have a suggestion that says you're going to do that, because a part of you might fight back and say, oh, no, you're not getting up in front of that group, and it'll protect you from that happening. So hypnosis is very different. It uses those elements, of course, suggestion and belief is part of it, but there's four other elements that I've discovered that have to happen in order to be successful at hypnosis. So if you have all six of those at the same time, then it, like, takes over and you can accomplish what you want.
Wow.
What kind of race announcer are you by? Horses or cars?
Cars.
Cars, okay.
Albuquerque National Dragway.
Wow.
I'm sure you've seen some pretty dramatic races, haven't you?
Oh, yes, I have. But, you know, sometimes you got to be strong during the bad parts.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
And that brings up another question, Wendy. Can people hypnotize themselves to be tough? Can they hypnotize themselves so they're not angry,
mm-hmm.
so they don't road rage, for example?
Absolutely. In fact, I've worked with people for road rage, and I created a link about, first I had all the emotional things that they love, the things that are really important to them that give them peace. But then I said, now, anytime you put your hands on the steering wheel, the sensation right there of your hands on the steering wheel, a calm is going to go through your body from the steering wheel all the way through you. And you're going to look around at other people, and you're going to find them amusing. They're no longer idiots. They're now amusing to you. That they do these things because they don't know any better, and it doesn't matter to you a bit. Every time you see the color red in a red light or a red stop sign, your mind is going to remember how you like to just stop and notice what's happening, feeling completely happy and amused. And it works.
First-time caller line, you're up on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure thing, sir.
Wendy, you briefly touched on remote viewing, and I was just wondering, is that something that you can teach? Or, Major Ed James is on the show a lot, does it, you know, professionally, and is that the same kind of thing that you're doing, or?
Yeah, kind of similar. Basically, the only thing I'm using it for is to help people find lost things. So let's say You need to find something you don't even know if you lost it in your house, and I'm going to, in hypnosis, have you imagine that you're going to float out into either your house or wherever, and you're going to be drawn, like in a straight line, you're just going to be drawn to the place where that object is, and you're going to make that connection with it. So you're seeing it remotely, and you're finding it. And there are other ways to do it, of course, but that one, to me, just makes the most sense. So one woman found this thing she was looking for. It was a necklace way up on top of a bookshelf that she couldn't see otherwise, and she doesn't know how it got up there. But when we did the remote viewing, she floated around and saw that it was up there, went home, and there it was on top of the bookshelf.
Okay, so it pretty well would take an object that you knew and was familiar with. You couldn't remote view and say, George's studio, where is right now, and describe something there.
Maybe.
No, don't.
I can see what you're doing, George. Stop that. Actually, I tried to remote view the lottery numbers in the future. So I had a hypnotist friend of mine. He'd hypnotize me. We'd go into the future and remote view the newspaper with the lottery numbers. And we actually did worse than chance. And we didn't work out at all.
All right. Thanks for the call.
Thank you, sir. Mike.
You're a little out of control person, Wendy, aren't you? East of the Rockies, you're on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hello, George.
Yes, sir.
You owe me for many nights of sleep that I've missed.
Okay. I don't know how I'll pay it back, but I do.
Wendy?
Yeah.
I'm willing to be experimented on first. Secondly, mm-hmm. we need you to spell it out for the spelling deprived people, mm-hmm. what your website is.
WENDI.com.
Okay.
Yes.
And if you wish to experiment on me, be nice.
Okay. What bad habit do you have?
Bad habits?
Do you smoke?
No, I quit smoking. I'm diabetic. I eat too much.
You eat too much. Okay. What's the food that you can't resist?
Bread.
Okay. I want you to close your eyes. Imagine a little TV screen or a frame of some sort, and there's bread. All kinds of bread that you eat is on that TV screen right there, okay? Now, just imagine it. You don't have to do anything to it. Just notice it. Move it off to the side. Now, I want you to create another frame. And on that, I want you to remember sometime when you were very sick, perhaps you drank too much in college and you threw up for an entire day, or you had the flu and you were so sick and stuff was just coming out every end. I want you to do you remember a time now when you were sick?
Yes.
Okay, I want you to feel that feeling that is just, there's nothing that you could possibly want to put in your body because you'd throw it right back up. Now, I want you to take both of these pictures and just imagine squishing them together, push them together. Good. Now let them dissolve into a tiny, tiny little speck and open your eyes. Now, I want you to tell me about bread and tell me what you feel. Tell me about a kind of bread that you used to eat.
White bread, any kind of bread, actually.
Mm-hmm. What do you feel in your body when you think about the white bread?
Right now?
Mm-hmm.
Not hungry for it right now.
Okay. What I want you to do is link it with having that feeling that you can't put anything in your body only when you think about that bread. So close your eyes again. Okay. And there's that image of the bread and the image of you and the feelings of you feeling really disgusted, feeling really sick, feeling, you couldn't possibly have another bite. Okay, and just amplify it and magnify it right now. Let it go away into a tiny little speck and then open your eyes. Now, what should happen in the next day or two is that your mind is going to connect more and more feelings of not wanting to put something in your mouth or in your body when it comes to bread. Because, you know, all that wheat's not good for you anyway. It's doing all kinds of terrible things. But anyway, you're going to notice it more and more over the next couple of days. Right now, the rest of the evening, when you think about bread, you're going to feel like, ooh, I don't want to eat that. Okay? Do you have that feeling a little bit right now?
I think so. Mm-hmm. A bit.
Okay, so what we did in just like less than a minute was we connected it with a feeling that says, I don't want that.
Now, theoretically, tomorrow morning, he wakes up, he's hungry. Is mm-hmm. he going to eat bread?
It may work. I mean, it's a really quick fix, and it's possible that as he sleeps tonight, and this is even a suggestion as well, but as he sleeps tonight, that his mind is going to find out that this bread is not helping his body. It's turning into sugars, which is creating insulin problems in his body. So as he sleeps, his mind is going to connect more and more the feeling that he doesn't want the bread. It doesn't matter to him. It doesn't taste any good. It doesn't do anything for him. And when he wakes up, it's possible that that feeling is going to be amplified so much that he doesn't care for bread anymore.
Why are some members of Alcoholics Anonymous ticked at you?
They're very unhappy with me. People are stopping drinking with my hypnosis CDs, and the problem is that AA wants people to be in AA and go to meetings and say, I am an alcoholic for the rest of their life. Now, I think AA is fine, and it's doing good for a lot of people.
It works for some.
It does, but it doesn't work for everybody, and there's a lot of people who leave AA, and they feel like failures because they think, if that didn't work, nothing's going to work, and they are worse off than before they went. Now, I'm saying, go to AA. It's a great organization. There's people and friends and meetings, but if it doesn't work for you, what do you do? So what I did is I created this program, and it's like there's a lot of stuff in it, man. It takes you 2 weeks to get through it, and you have to listen twice a day. But you're going to create a belief that you are not a drinker. And like we talked about earlier about going in the future,
right.
I'm implanting the stuff in the future, all the things you do with your life without drinking, and that alcohol is like, it's not even a thing anymore. It doesn't need, and then I connect all these good feelings from the future going, I mean, we're going years into the future. I take them all and connect them now to looking at a bottle of alcohol, smelling alcohol, hearing somebody else have a glass of alcohol, being at a bar. The minute that you see or think about alcohol in any way, the good feelings that you want, the things that are so important to you, your family, your health, your success, all of those are going to overpower any thought about the alcohol, and you simply won't care about it. And, George, the crazy thing is it's working. Thousands and thousands of people send me these emails and tell me they're not drinking. And I know they say, you know, you shouldn't be doing hypnosis to help people stop drinking because that's not one of the things you do with hypnosis. And that's where...
Yeah, but if it works, go for it.
I know. And I've got doctors who are talking to me now who want to get in on this and find out how they can use this to help people because it's private. You can do it in your own home. You don't have to go to meetings, but you also don't have to subscribe to whatever, you know, beliefs that don't work for you. If you don't want to turn it over to a higher power, what do? You just want to quit drinking. Most of the people, even there's a woman in Scotland, drank a quart of vodka a day for the last 25 years. And, you know, it's not good to stop cold turkey when you drink that much because it's bad for your health to withdraw. But she did it gradually over a couple of weeks, and she stopped. And she says, it just is crazy that I don't want to drink. I've never imagined that I could not drink, and I'm not drinking. And also now I'm getting rid of my codependent problem with my parents, who I'm still taking care of, and this and that. And it heals a lot of aspects of your life because it deals with all of the emotions and all of the hurt and pain and sadness that made you drink in the first place.
When we come back, I want to ask you if you can help people who are depressed. Can they fight that and be happy again? Then we'll take the rest of the phone calls. What a fast show. A half hour to go with our guest, Wendy Friesen. Her website, Wendy, WENDI.com. Well, tonight's the launch night for the free CD, The Perfect Possession, Art Bell's interview with Father Malachi Martin. It is available to you free when you order the After Dark newsletter by calling 1-888-727-5505. That's 1-888-727-5505. Or you can go online, coasttocoastam.com. Wendy, how can you help people who are depressed? I mean, very severely depressed.
Well, that really does require private sessions so that you can really work with a person one-on-one, because I have worked with people who are actually suicidal, and it's a kind of a gray area for a hypnotherapist. You want the people to still be getting good medical attention and also seeing a mental health professional, because most hypnotherapists are only hypnotherapists. So for the most part, there's a lot of things that you can give them to get their minds to start creating a future that they actually want to live in. And that's really hard to do if someone's really depressed. You have to find some little things that actually make them feel like, you know, life is a good thing. Once you start like the reason that people get depressed is the negative memories secrete chemicals in your brain. The more you think about these negative things, the more chemicals, the neuropeptides that are secreted into your body and create a chemical depression. But here's a really interesting part. The negative memories, the ones that are unresolved emotions, and especially anger and things that are real intense, those areas in your brain seek out other areas of your brain that have similar emotional content. Now, you know who Candace Pert is?
No.
She wrote a book called Molecules of Emotion. She was also in What the Bleep in that movie.
Okay.
So she discovered that these memories seek out other memories and activate them and charge them up. So you're feeling angry at your husband, and then that memory brings up anger about your father. Then it brings anger about something that happened to you in school, and it opens up all these memories. They all secrete neuropeptides, and you're depressed. And it is a chemical depression, but it started with the emotions in your brain. So what a person does in hypnotherapy, you know, and certainly it helps to listen to CDs, but you really want to go see a hypnotherapist in person, is you resolve those emotions. You release them so that they're no longer pent up, you know, emotionally intense memories that are trapped in your brain. You put words to them and you resolve what's happening. Now they can't secrete the chemicals. And this is another thing that Candace Pert discovered, is once they're let into a conscious memory so that you have it all stored differently in your brain, they don't secrete the chemicals that cause the depression.
Next up to the phones we go. International Line, you're on the air with us. Where are you calling from?
I'm calling from Toronto.
Okay, go ahead.
Hi, Wendy. How are you?
Hi, great.
A couple of questions. Number one, are there any defenses that, that one can put up to kind of prevent themselves from being hypnotized unwillingly? And number two, are there certain age groups that, that hypnosis is more effective on, or is this the effectiveness uniform for all ages?
Yeah, great questions, because it is different for all different ages. Teenagers are very susceptible to being hypnotized. For some reason, they just love it. They want to feel the effects of it. And they make changes just like that. You know, if they have test anxiety or something, you bring them in and boom, they don't have it anymore. People who are in the age, adults generally, like in their 20s, not real easy to hypnotize. Once you get into your 30s, your motivation to make your life better gets very big because you realize, okay, things are sucking pretty bad. I need to change it. From 30 to about 55, 60 years old, people are very willing and susceptible because their desire is there. For over 60, it gets a little sketchy, and people aren't as willing to let you kind of delve around in their mind. So, yeah, those are the two groups, teenagers and then the, like, 30 to 50-year-old group. Now, protecting yourself, that's interesting. A woman worked for a judge here in Northern California. He knew a covert way of hypnotizing her and creating anchors, and it had to do with the clicks of his pen, and it had to do with getting her to hate her husband and feel attached to him. She felt it was happening. She came to see me and said, I don't know why this is happening, and he keeps doing this clicky pen thing. And I said, well, I want you to remember some of the phrases he's using, the words he's saying. And it turns out he was doing this wide-awake covert hypnosis that I'm very familiar with, and she had no idea how to stop it. And she says, I want to love my husband, but it's like every time I see him, I don't know why. I'm repulsed now. And it was because, and he was a judge. Anyway, he's a bad judge. What we did with her is I did hypnosis with her and said, your mind is your own. Your thoughts are your own. And there isn't anything that can affect you adversely to make you feel bad feelings that aren't yours. And we asked the mind to completely release any feelings or thoughts or connections for him. We looked for anchors and triggers that he had created. And then, you know, this is real simple, but we had her imagine that there's a bubble of light around her, and this bubble of light is her protection, that inside of this light, her thoughts are her own, her will is her own, and everything that would be negative bounces off of that. That was enough to create for her the strength that she had to know that nothing could affect her, that it didn't have to sink in. So it was a little scary, you know, that she was actually, you know, being really affected by this covert hypnosis technique.
That's well, a lot of people have been sending me fast blast emails, and some of them are driving, and they say they've gotten from point A to point B, sometimes miles, and they can't remember how they did it, but they have tonight.
Exactly.
That's maybe just relaxing.
Yeah, and highway hypnosis is very typical. When we had telephone poles on the sides of the road, the way they flash by your eyes creates a brainwave sequence. Also, the lines in the center of the road are a repetitive pattern that becomes very hypnotic, and some of those things are responsible for putting us into hypnosis while we drive.
Wildcard Line, you're up with Wendy on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hi, Mark from Bayonne, New Jersey.
Hi, Mark, go ahead.
I became conscious during the middle of a dream, and I watched it to its conclusion, and it was so exquisite that instead of waking up, there was a click at the top of my head, and it rewound flawlessly past the point I became conscious all the way back to the beginning. And then I watched it replayed about double speed, and it was flawless, exactly the way I saw it the first time.
Uh-huh.
And it was just so exquisite, and I was so satisfied. And I was wondering, if you go under hypnosis, if something happened in your life, especially if you, like you said, with the gentleman with the keys,
uh-huh,
can you see something happen? Can you see something in your life that you need to know? So you and see it exactly the way it happened, or is it just like recollection?
Well, it's different. The memory that you bring up in hypnosis is a more real memory, and there's ways that we can check to make sure that that's the real memory, and you're not just like recalling it and putting other details in it and conjecturing, you know. So there are some ways that you can do that, definitely. But there's something called ideomotor responses, and we ask your subconscious to make a finger twitch that indicates yes and make another finger twitch that indicates no. So if you went through this memory and you brought it back, we'd say, can the mind make sure that it only brings back the accurate memory? And it would twitch and say yes, or it would twitch and say no, this memory isn't accurate. Does that make sense?
Oh, absolutely.
But yeah.
Do you need to have the suggestion prior to that to say, I want to see this flawlessly, or it's just something that comes out naturally?
No, you could do that to yourself even. I mean, if you're going to relax yourself and get into that state, and you could ask your mind to create that and bring this memory back exactly like it was, you could definitely do that with self-hypnosis. And that would be really fun, by the way. Just go ahead and, like, the same way that you were rewinding it, just do that while you're in hypnosis.
I don't know if I could ever do that again, though, with a dream.
That'd be fun, though.
Very much.
All right,
wonderful.
Appreciate you being out. That'd be kind of neat to be able to rewind your own dreams.
I love it. I'm going to make a CD for that.
Yeah, really. First-time caller line. Welcome to the program. Hi there.
Hi, George.
Hi,
hi,
sir.
Wendy.
Hi.
How you doing?
Great.
This is Billy from Pocatello, Idaho.
Hey, Billy.
You made a comment, George, earlier about stigmatism and
stigmata.
Wondering about it.
Uh-huh.
I watched a show on the History Channel about it, and they said, mentioned a stuff called, like, psychosemitism.
Mm-hmm.
And it related with the fact that the priests, they believed so much in the stigmata that it would actually appear on their hands, and it would look real and everything, but when they died, they'd show their dead body and there was no wounds whatsoever, but the day before they were
bleeding. Yeah.
Hmm.
And then I had a question for you, Wendy.
Mm-hmm.
With meditation, is it like self-hypnosis?
Actually, that's one of the things that is very different. Meditation is the absence of thought. So you're trying to get the thought out of your head and you're trying to let go and get to the point where you actually have no thought. Are you a meditator?
No, I've been researching it, and I've been wanting to try it. So.
Hypnosis is very focused and very guided. It's very specific about what you're being asked to do. And so what I'm attempting to do is to fill your brain with as much feeling, visuals, emotions, smells, sounds, everything, so that it implants a very real future memory of how you want something to be. So meditation being the absence of thought, hypnosis being flooded with thought, the thing that you do want, and being quite the opposite. But then people do something called guided meditation, and if you're guiding someone and putting thoughts in there, it's not meditation.
Ah.
Okay, thank you. What do you do about grieving people, Wendy? How can you help them?
Well, actually, there are some things we can do. One is I do this thing, and people could work on this on their own too. I take a room that's considered a sacred room. I have them put all the memories from that person into that room and honor them. Everything they ever did, everything they experienced, the thoughts, the emotions, the feelings, the sadness, or even excitement from the past. They put everything in there. They sit in that imaginary room, they light a candle, and they honor the experience. Then they go out the door and they look in the windows. So now your mind is distancing a little bit, feeling comfortable. You look in the different windows of the room, then you go further up and you float up and you see it from a new perspective, a little further away. And then there's something I do to say, that anytime you want to come back to this room, you can revisit those memories. But right now, it's okay to leave it because you can come back. But now all those memories are there in that place. They're all safe in that temple. And then I have them float away, and they get the sense of relief because before that, their mind didn't know what to do with all the hurt or anger or unresolved feelings or love or, you know, and everything they're missing. And it does work. It's really been a lifesaver for a lot of people.
I know some people that go shopping to relieve depression, and then they get depressed when they come home.
And see those bills.
Yeah, that's
really
right.
What they spent, yeah. Yeah. Hey, did I tell you about the what we do for the guys in Iraq, our soldiers?
No, what do you do?
We send them any CDs they want because we realized they were ordering so much of our stuff that we said, well, this is ridiculous, and we want to get the word out, so you can help me get the word out. Anyone you know who's fighting over there, we'll send them any CDs they want for free. We pay the shipping and everything. And what they love the power nap, and there's some CDs to make them more focused and more alert, then things to make them sleep in noisy situations and difficult situations and to relieve the stress.
So what do you need? Their addresses out there?
Yep. Send us an email, and my office staff will take care of it, and they'll send them to the APOs and get them to them.
Perfect. Good
for
you.
Yeah. It's really nice because we realized how much they were doing. You know, and these guys don't have any money, Yardley, and they're sending us $100 or $200 to buy these CDs. And we said, this is crazy. So we're really glad to do that. Definitely.
Wendy, you're a saint when it comes to that.
It's fun. You know, that's what makes it all worthwhile. All the money that I make, it could not possibly give me the reward that I get out of really helping people. You know, there's some people that write to us and they say, hey, I don't have any money. I got to quit drinking or, you know, whatever their problem is. Is there any way you can help me? And we find a way to help them. We have therapists, a network of therapists all over that will see them for free and do a private session for them for free.
I like that. Wildcard line, you're up with us. Hi there.
Yeah, hi, George. Hi, Wendy.
Hey.
Hi. I was wondering, when you were talking about the, I know how when you have some sort of pain going on, you can basically get yourself into hypnosis, but when it starts to vary, if it's like a continuous pain, it's sort of easier, but let's say, are there any hypnosis techniques that would work on something that it is not just a momentary thing like somebody putting a needle through
right.
your hand
where
it's finite, but let's say you're walking around in your day-to-day life and the thing is, you know, on and off again. It's not like you can just keep yourself in one sort of,
right.
you know.
What kind of pain is it specifically? Is it like back pain or headaches? Or?
Well, the screener said I shouldn't say anything, make it personal, but I don't know. Can I, George?
we're almost.
I can't really answer her.
I can give you a general idea.
Since Wendy asked
you. Severe pain of a nerve decaying and dying, really severe.
Well, your body regenerates constantly. You are always growing new cells. Your nerves, your skin, your bones, everything is being replaced. So here's the important thing. Even if you've been told that this nerve is degenerating and whatever, if your mind believes that, you're going to send energy to that nerve that's going to help it to decay because that's the belief you have. The first thing you need to do is start, you take this imaginary journey inside of your body and you go down to where that nerve is and you start doing everything you can to create life in it, to imagine seeing new cells that are growing and giving it. I used to have the worst back pain for years. I was racked with back pain. It was horrible. And I haven't had it for 8 years now. And I did that. Anytime I felt it, I started doing that. And I turned around the belief in my mind that I'm going to have back pain the rest of my life. I went to a chiropractor and he said, you've got degenerating discs. It only is going to get worse and worse and worse. And I believed him. And it did get worse until I said, nope, I'm going to stop it. And I haven't had it in years. The other thing is, you have to find out if your pain is serving a positive purpose because very often pain has a benefit. And I know this sounds crazy, but it is so true. You have to go inside of yourself and ask that pain, what do you need? And let the pain tell you what the positive intention is. And you need to do this when you're very relaxed in a kind of hypnotic trance. And then ask it again, what else do you need? And it will tell you and say, okay, now, what else? Bottom line, what do you need the most? Why do you need this pain? And it may tell you that it's to protect you or help you or keep you safe or prevent you from doing something in particular. And when you find that out, then everything changes because it's like the gig is up. The pain cannot carry out its agenda anymore.
May I ask a question?
Sure. Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
Well, this is a situation where it's a very natural thing that occurs with decay of tooth, the pulp and the nerve pulp that goes down the middle of tooth. You know, in everybody, it dies, and I can't have anesthesia or painkillers. So it's sort of a natural thing that, you know, never really comes back, but I have to live with it because I can't have anesthesia or painkillers.
Mm-hmm. Well, hypnosis will be the perfect thing for you to use then, because it will create as much pain relief as you want. In fact, there's studies that show that hypnosis has a higher degree of pain relief than morphine.
Wow.
Yeah, and this is a study done, it's in the Journal of Clinical and Experimental Hypnosis, and they found that 75% of the people got a greater degree of relief than using morphine for their pain.
Wow.
So,
your
CD
would help with this or not?
Oh, absolutely. But there's free hypnosis sessions on my website. You can listen to those and see how that works for you. You know, and then if you want to do something further, we can.
Thanks, both of you.
Okay, I appreciate it. Time for maybe one more call. We'll go to our East of the Rockies line. You're on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hello?
Yeah, go ahead, sir.
Oh, I'm Billy. I've been a big fan since I was 12.
Thanks, Billy.
All right. My question is, I have a friend that he has, like, problems with lying a lot, and I was wondering if lying, if you've ever experienced a situation in which lying dated back, like, went back to, like, a past life, like, a problem with in the past life.
Oh, I actually have, and this is something that's very personal to me. It's someone I know very well, and in a hypnosis session someone else did to me, I bounced back into a past life, and here was this person who had been lying to me. And in the past life, they weren't in a relationship with me, but they had been lying to everyone in this town, and they destroyed all these people and stuff. And it was fascinating that this was a common thread that was going through, you know, all of their lives. So, yeah, a big eye-opener.
Wendy, the clock has got us.
Yep, it does. I wish we had another 3 hours.
Don't hypnotize me to do that.
You want three more. But, hey, we're going to be having dinner pretty soon. Cause
you owe me.
Yep, you bet. You just let me know where.
Knowing you, you'll hypnotize me, and I'll still end up paying the bill.
But you'll love it.
Wendy.com. Thanks, Wendy.
Oh, thank you so much, George. This has been absolutely a dream. Thank you so much.
You take care of yourself.
Okay, good night.
You know, she's probably hypnotized all of us, and we didn't even know it, to tell you the truth. For Steve Carr, Dan Galante, Tom Phineas Danheiser, Lisa Lyon, Lex Lonehood, Sean LaDesur, and Art Bell, I'm George Norrie, somewhere out there on Coast to Coast AM. I'll see you on our next edition. Psychic Joseph Jacobs joins us. Until then, be safe, everyone.